to another episode of Black Girl Fly. I'm your girl, Ava Marie.
And I'm Tashana Dixon.
Today, we're going to be talking about colorism. And so, I don't think we've talked a lot about colorism on the podcast before, but we've definitely talked about the isms, we've talked about inequities, we've talked about many other topics, but I think for folks within the Black community and other cultures, to be honest, colorism is a thing.
It is.
And we've talked about hair before on the show, and I think some of that is related to colorism. But yeah, let's dive in, because I think this is a nuance within people of color communities. But in the work that we do, we encounter a lot of people, you know, who are not of people of color, right? White people who may not be as familiar, which I think is also very interesting that we've lived this whole life with this mm-hmm. as a thing for us. And then we encounter people who just have no idea like that this exists. And so that's another nuance. So yeah,
so I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Like, how do you think colorism shows up today? Like in 2023, like I'm tired of hearing people talk about how slavery was a long time ago or how Jim Crow was even a long time ago. Like, how do you think colorism really still shows? How does it display itself today? What are we doing that is still rooted in that?
I mean, that's a great question. The answer that comes right away to mind is like this archetype of beauty that exists right now is like, number one, everyone's a carbon copy of this.
Oh my God, I can't stand that. Oh my, if I see another lace front with some baby hairs, I'm going to throw up.
Everyone is a carbon copy of this archetype, and this archetype has, you know, fine hair, light skin, preferably, you know, defined facial features, beat face, right? Makeup on point, nice teeth. And I would say generally Eurocentric features, but some color to the skin. Not too dark though, but definitely not white. And, you know, then we get into the body, we're talking BBL, like, of course. And like, this is—
Well, that's interesting image. To me though, that the BBL thing is hit, because that is more, you know, Afro rooted, if you will. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, but it's that with the rest, right? And so I think this archetype is actually pulling in many features from different cultures into this one. But I think the problem is there's not really anybody who's naturally
like that. I mean, you get some good mixes together, you might be able. But I was gonna say, to that point, I mean, when I think about colorism, I honestly have to speak from my own personal experiences. My mom would tell me, so growing up, my mom was very fair skinned. And so she was on that verge of, I can't be someone too light, because then my babies would be clear. And I wanted a little color, but not too much color. And I think about even, so my partner, his mom is really dark skinned, and she would only date light skinned guys. And that, like, that was like a criteria for her, is I couldn't be with someone that would make my children be as dark as I am. And she lived with that, right? And that was, I think it's largely attributed to this ideal of beauty, and that you're not beautiful if, you know, you're darker in skin complexion.
That's so interesting, because like, I reflect on childhood and like, I kind of knew that that was a thing, but I didn't really know that that was a thing until you said it.
It was totally a thing. Mom only ever dated dark guy for that reason. She said it all the time.
I didn't know that. I never knew that. Yeah. But that makes so the reason I say I knew it, but I didn't know it, because even when I started like dating and entertaining guys, I had this like deep conviction around like, I can't date a white guy. But
oh,
I,
I, I'll get there.
But I didn't know it was a real, it's coming from this colorism thing, but I thought it was just because we weren't supposed to like white people.
You're like, is it colorism or am I racist? I don't know. Where's the line? Where's the line?
I did not know. But there you go. But it's a light bulb moment. But I, for myself, that was the only thing that was kind of off limits. I had never really, for myself, you know, I really liked chocolate guys in theory, but I never dated one. I always, you know, said I wanted to date a chocolate person, but like it never actually, I mean, maybe one time, like never really.
I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, but I never really thought about that. I mean, until you explained it like that. What about you? What was your dating choices based on what you knew our parents' generation was doing?
I've always had this weird ideal about my own complexion. So I grew up, my mom and my sister were lighter than me growing up. I don't know if that's completely the same according to Ava, but they were lighter than me when I grew up. So I was the darkest one in the house. But then my father had a wife and kids that lived in a separate house, and I was actually the lightest person at his house when I went to visit him. And so I always felt like I could kind of go in between. So I don't think that I ever like decided that I thought I was dark enough to where whatever I did would be fine. But I was light enough to whatever I did was fine, I guess. And even, it's funny because my kids were born and they were all pretty fair skinned when they were born. And now they've come out and somewhere in the middle mostly. But my partner is of darker skin tone than I am. And so I had imagined that my children would be more brown than they were. But I don't know that I've ever was like, I'm only going to date him because of my kids will look this way. And I know my mom did that. Like my mom told me stories about how when she found out she's pregnant with my father, she's like, my daughter's going to have beautiful skin. Like that was something that she actually said to me growing up, is that she was really excited about the mixture of their two skins and what that would mean for my skin or my complexion. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's interesting.
But go back to why she thought that though, because right, she didn't want to be with someone light skin because they had, her generation had this really messed up relationship with whiteness in their proximity to whiteness.
Yep.
Because they got white in their blood.
Yes.
And they live in the south side of Chicago where, I mean, I don't know what the dynamics were.
It wasn't cool to be white. Not in the black community. Like, right. Because black people felt like you were treated better than them. Like, well, I shouldn't say black people. Darker skinned people. I mean, they were treated better than them. I remember, I don't know if you've ever heard the story. I think it was Uncle Marcus. It was one of our uncles. So just so everybody's on the same page, our grandmother's father is white. And her brothers, half of them were really light and half of them were brown skin. And so growing up, you know, this was the 60s, 70s that they were like growing up. And one of my uncles, I think it was my Uncle Marcus, he could get a job right away. Like the darker skin brothers, it would take time. And he's like, they loved me. I was light enough to kind of pass a little bit, so I could walk in. And he told a story about how he walked into this one place and they gave him a job that day, and that was normal. And so going back to the story that I was talking about is in that time frame, darker skinned people didn't like the lighter skinned people because they were treated better. Right?
Yeah, and colorism was real.
And so if you were lighter in your community, it was actually harder for you because you were more accepted outside of your community. And so I do think that played a lot into the perceptions about what you wanted your children to look like and what you didn't want your children to look like. Like, you didn't want your children dark enough so that they would be considered ugly, but you didn't want your children light enough so that their own people would not accept them with open arms.
Interesting. Which is all like instinctually and internal, maternal, right? You don't want your children to have a bad experience because of a decision that you made. And so like logically, instinctually, I can understand the thought process. However, crazy, it really is.
Yeah, it's crazy in 2023. I don't think it's so crazy in 1967.
But so now I want to go back to your original question around how colorism shows up today versus that. Do you think it's very different? Sounds like you think it's very different.
I don't actually think it's that different. I think that it is less prevalent in, I'd say, in other communities, like in the United States. I don't think that, I don't want to say these words, but that white people still consider like the house nigga, the light skinned guy, and the field nigga, the dark skinned guy. I think that it is actually more prevalent. And I'm not saying it's non-existent in the white community, but I think it is more prevalent within the Black community as a basis for discrimination or than it is outside of it. And I've heard guys say, I prefer light-skinned girls, or I've heard, you know, people say, I want you to look a certain way, or I like curly hair or straight hair, or, you know, like the attributes that are praised in the Black community, I think are more consistent with more Caucasian features.
I think not even Caucasian, I think mixed features.
Well, because you're throwing in the BBL. Is that what you're saying, is making them mixed features?
No, because I mean the curly hair, white people don't have curly hair. Not for, I mean, there's wavy hair, but like this curly, you know, in the natural hair community, this curly hair that you really only get mixed race, like those defined curls, we talking two, what do they call them? 2C. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's not kinky. That's not what we're talking about.
Well, because, but are they doing that thing where they're like, well, my kids can't be too white, right? Or like, is it that same parameter being put on it that was put on it back in the day, right?
Maybe it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's really interesting.
I mean, even like, I don't know if you heard Tyrese. So Tyrese Gibson, the singer, he married, I think she was Indian lady. And he was walking around calling her his Nubian princess or whatever. And and his saint, so the Black community got mad at him and was like, she's not. And he was like, and he was like, she not white. Like, like that was his comeback. It was, and in his mind, and I think in many people's minds, they're not white. It's good to go. I mean, I think about other cultures, like in the Indian culture, this is prevalent. Like this colorism thing is still huge in India. They are darker skinned Indians that live in a certain place, and it signifies for them that they come of lower upbringings, right? That they're out in the sun, that they work, and that if you're lighter, you come from money because you didn't have to go. You live, you know. And so I still think it does still exist even outside, if we're talking about just the U.S. and kind of some of the things there. There are implications that play out in the greater, you know.
Interesting. Well, my mind is blown. I was super curious to tackle this because I think it's something that we don't really talk about today, but this is a really important nuance that exists, I think, within this like diversity, equity, and inclusion conversation that people are just not really even having. And so, you know, when a lot of people talk about affinities, we're mostly just talking about race, ethnicity, but like within, like the colorism thing touches on class, which we don't talk about a lot of the times. And I think it even has some gender connotations too, right? Because of the standards for women versus the standards for men, I think there is, you know, sometimes different standards for that. So So yes,
I agree. And even for me, I had to recognize that I had those on. We talked a lot about like the external. I had those images in my head growing up. I thought you were so much more pretty than I was, and I think it was really centered around the fact that you were light skinned with long hair. And I don't know that I ever expressed that outwardly, but internally, I definitely held that. Like, I was like, I'm not as good. And it's so interesting because it's taken me to get to the point where I have children. Like, I look at this super, well, I'm just telling all my business again. There I go. But like, I look at my daughter, my oldest daughter, she looks a lot like me. And I found myself looking at her and going, how didn't I know I was beautiful? Like, I'm like, what the heck, Tashonda? Like it took me to be out of body and to love someone enough and to see me in that person for me to acknowledge that I had these thoughts that I didn't look like, you know, I was, you know.
Interesting.
Whatever.
So the other side of that is, so I didn't feel super beautiful. Like, I never really felt that, but I did feel growing up like that people held me to a different standard. Mm-hmm. And I internalized that in terms of like, I could never make mistakes and mm-hmm. I could never admit to those mistakes. And so the shame that I was always carrying because of what I perceived of like people's expectations of me was so high that I could never, yeah. Like, I knew I wasn't perfect enough to attain them and to like live
wow,
up to what.
Wow, that's interesting. Oh my God, it's so opposite for me. I yeah. thought like, well, like people, in my opinion, I don't know if this was true. I thought mostly people thought lesser of me and that I had to prove them wrong. Wow.
It's very interesting.
That was deep. I mean, I don't know where to go with this.
I mean, I never really thought about that until you just shared what you were talking yeah. about. So, but that's real. I think it's, you know, I think it's important for us to process these things that we have carried due to, you know, whatever ism that it has been. But I think just the way that we were raised in general and, you know, you said even as you're raising your children, right? Like, what values are you wanting to pass on? And I think in some ways,
too, how do you teach them the standard of beauty? That's the question that I had with them. And I thought about colorism. How am I showing my children that your complexion has nothing to do with your beauty, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that I am conscientious of too, because I do have children that are different mm-hmm. complexions. And to make sure that we're not overemphasizing, because I do know that that is an issue that our extended family has had. Like, I talked about my partner's mother and knowing that she's battled that that's a generational thing that she's battled. Like, how do I make sure that I change that dynamic, that I communicate that difference in thought and philosophy, so they won't experience the things that you and I were just talking about, yeah. and that they will be able to see their own beauty regardless of their complexion.
Yeah, and I can say for sure, we've had conversations, like, I doubt that they're unaware because mm-hmm. we've talked about it, right? Like, this has been conversations for years. Yeah. So I think that's exactly right what you're saying. Like, well, how do you still steward it in a way that is a benefit? Because I'm like, color, hair, size, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. all these things.
They come up every day. Those things come up every day.
Every day. And then you got to go send them out into the world. And the world is talking about it every day.
Yep.
And so yeah. Whew. I pray for you.
So I feel like you got stressed out. Do you get stressed out?
That's a lot of work. I said, girl, I'm tired for you right now. But no, this conversation, you know, this blessed me very much so. I think we unpacked some layers that I didn't even think about and that I did not know were there. So So yeah, so I just appreciate you having this conversation and encourage folks to unpack the layers, unpack the onion to, I mean, get some more insight about yourself and thinking about, you know, the future and the things that you want to pass on and don't want to pass on.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Well, awesome. So until next time, I'm your girl, Ava Marie.
And I'm Shauna Dixon.
And we are Black Girl Fly.